natural lotions you put on yourself. But you'd think there'd be something a bit more high-tech than that. Although, of course, they keep talking about breeding sterile males, which they release into the population. And supposedly, this is to help diminish the numbers of offspring of these mosquitoes. It doesn't seem to work much, does it? It makes you wonder what else they're sterilizing, doesn't it, in the process? Who knows? But there you go. But they're doing well, of course, the mosquitoes. So I guess the biodiversity crew from Maurice Strong's days, and again, where they all got rights, all the animal and plants and insects got rights, and we don't have any, but they get them all. I guess that keeps them all happy. I always say that every year I don't need to donate any blood to any society, because I do enough every year to nature. Certainly, I'm probably the dad of billions of them, but now they've had so much blood off me. But just the way it goes, isn't it, eh? That's the way it goes. You used to think at one time, why can't they? Because they tried it apparently with insects. You see these little ads for kind of high frequency type sonic deterrents for mice or things like that. I don't know if they work at all. I very much doubt it personally. But they also have them supposedly for certain kinds of bugs. But I wonder too if they could even work. The thing that does work apparently, is something they were selling a few years ago. Where you had big canisters of propane, and they would go through a kind of machine which would give off CO2, and the CO2 naturally attracts the mosquitoes, and they went into a kind of vacuum thing, like a vacuum suction thing, that would suck them up in this particular machine. And supposedly they had some good success. I never tried them, so I don't really know. And I think that anything that puts out CO2 today will be taboo, including us, of course. Once you get to carbon neutral, you understand, we won't be around, obviously. Nothing will live on the planet to get to carbon neutral. There'll be nothing alive at all, obviously, you know, because we give it off when we breathe out, and plants take it in a certain time of their 24-hour cycle, and they put out oxygen. So to get a carbon-neutral planet, since we're all carbon-based life forms, all of us, then everything's dead. There's a good goal for you. But again, facts don't really matter. When's the big agendas at work, isn't it? After all, the sustainability idea is for total control of humanity. That was always the intention of it. And for folk who haven't figured it out, under sustainability, the whole thing is a reduction of the population. And they've been quite explicit about how much they predict every person is going to consume in their lifetime, how much it needs to feed them, and all the carbon produced from that kind of stuff, and all the clothing, etc., and heating. So the fewer folk they can have around, then obviously they'll meet their sustainability targets. Mind you, they'll also decide along the way, and this is inevitable, of course, and everybody knows it, that they'll go the whole way that they planned to do in the 1900s, early 1900s, which was they'll have panels, they'll decide who can have children and who cannot. That's always been inevitable, step by step by step, these things are introduced, and you all know it's true. You all know it's true. I can remember years ago, talking about so many things, not because I was guessing about stuff, but because I'd read so much of the, unlike some of the people that followed my example, but only they pretended that they read all the stuff. I actually did read all that stuff. And some of them actually today still prattle on. They copied my shows actually in the same week or 2 weeks later, and they, verbatim, that I'd do all the work and get all the topics and do all the searching and so on for the source, and they use all. One in particular, you all know, but it's rather disgusting, isn't it? It tells you a lot too about their personalities. But anyway, getting back to what I'm saying, years ago you talk about so many things that they would definitely get put into being, because step by step they always introduce them. And we adapt and we adapt, and we know we adapt little by little until they've achieved their goals. So at the time when you come out with these things years and years ago, the folk would say, oh, that's a conspiracy nut theory, because that's what they were taught to say by, again, media reporters that really work for the CIA. I'm not kidding about that either. I mean, there are documentaries they had about that back in the... They came out in the 60s, the 70s and the 80s. A lot of them in the top television stations in the US were actually CIA employees. You don't have to be a full-time employee to be a member of them. Same with CSIS in Canada. They could take contracts, like part-time things, you see, and have full... For instance, some of the professors and universities are members of them. That's quite common in all countries, in fact. So anyway, getting back to what I'm saying, they would poo-poo it and say, oh, that's crazy and nuts and so on. But it all comes to pass. And the people who would laugh at it, when you ask them, why would they laugh? They say, oh, that could never happen. And you say, well, why couldn't that ever happen? Well, somebody would stop that. Well, who's the somebody? You see, who's the somebody? You always hear the same thing. Oh, somebody would stop it. Because it won't be them. It's not them. They wouldn't say, I'm going to stop or try to. Or somebody will stop that. Or they'd say, they'd never do it to us, whoever they are, they'd never do it to us. They presume that there's some kind of benevolent supreme commander looking after us all here. And I'm not talking about deity. Well, they might think they are, but they really think that there's some kind of deity overseeing it all with our best interests in mind. And, of course, that's how they're trained to see things. Even when things are put forward to them to indoctrinate them to give up their rights and freedoms under a world threat. Oh, the world's going to end because of man's destruction of the planet. That's the greatest one they came up with, you see. Before that, they tried atomic warfare as well. We were the enemy then too, you see. And even though most of us are ignorant of all, and most of us have never studied atomic energy to any extent at all, certainly not in that field and that level, but then they came up with, we're all killing the planet. We're all going to die anyway, you see. They couldn't get a comet to pass by quick enough to really give us a big fright. So they came up with this idea. Because once you give up all your rights to save the world, now you're in a wartime mode, you see. And it's a war, you see. It's a war against the population of the planet. And don't think that somehow you're exempt from it if you're living pretty well and you're middle class or whatever it happens to be in some of the first world countries. The first world's going down pretty fast, by the way. Don't think you're exempt from it because it's a war on the whole planet's populations. Many people at the top in the Fabian organizations a long time ago were rather open about it. And Bernard Shaw was one of the better ones to expound the theories of true mandated scientific socialism and control over the populations and your lives from birth to death. That's what they want. And believe you me, it's really going into that in this day and age right now. Very evident for those who understand it. Most folk don't. Most folk don't want to. But it's a choice as well. Even when it stares them in the face. And I understand it. It's a frightening thing to realize that the system that you're born into and brought up with is really not there to have your best interests at heart. But they do want you to believe in it, obviously. That I'm talking about the ones who gave you the impressions that you have on the system. It's quite easy to understand how it's been done in any. Look at the countries in the past. Look at tourneys and so on, and yet we can't equate tourneys with ourselves because there's nobody bashing you on the head right now. Some countries there are. I mean, if you look at France, for instance, with the yellow vests and so on going on, it's one of the best covered up things right now, and the whole of Europe is going along with this cover up, keep it as quiet as possible, when literally there's thousands of people getting injured all the time. Supposedly, it all started with the increases that Macron had put on the taxing of fuels and so on, and diesel, which is transport and consumption of foodstuffs, which you're going to get here too, by the way. You're going to get all the austerity taxes put on us here, and carbon taxes as well. It's already happening. And once you really tax diesel and gasoline, so your food even is transported by tractor trailer, big trucks, or else it's done by train and so on, that's all going to get passed on to you. You'll be in the same boat shortly because France was a test case for it. So taxes go up and up and up. There's not enough work, there's not enough money, and you can't. And then everything that's taxed, especially the fuel line, ends up being tacked onto you. So even basic things like food is too expensive. We're already seeing that. A lot of people are hurting even in Canada here. I know it because I know the prices of food is getting ridiculous. And again, it's authorized by government to keep increasing food, and it's classed as energy, by the way, if you haven't figured it out. So you're going into the austerity mode that I talked about a few years ago, because that was mandated. We all go into austerity as the start of it. It might get brought to a stage where there will be riots, and then the government said, believe you me, they can let them loose in France, they can let them loose anywhere, and they're all ready for it, by the way, for big-time riots, if it comes to that, too. But you're going into the sci-fi mode of all the movies we saw in the 90s, with the bad future of dystopia run by a system which is rather nasty, inhumane, and we're all living in rubble and trying to feed off garbage dumps and so on. Don't laugh at these things because it can be done so quickly if it was ever needed to be done by those who deem it necessary, those who are in control. There are documentaries out now from France with so many photographs and pictures of people who've lost their eyes because of these rubber bullets, they call these riot control type bullets that are fired, hitting people in the face and losing their eyes. It's very, very common. And I think it's 1,500 or so far, maybe more. And so these things are pretty high velocity at close range as well. And they're going right through the faces of people. So this isn't a little skirmish of protesters. This is a full-scale war on the people, basically. And it's been covered up to a great extent because the folk were just fed up with the higher taxes and lack of work and so on and so on, and being dismissed by this character Macron. I watched a documentary where a woman who's a representative for the Yellow Jackets, which is actually a lawyer who comes from a family that always were part of the police force, she was one too at one time. And she's discussing it and telling you how bad it is and why it's all happening. and just said that Macron himself is such a, he's an incredible snob apparently, silver spoon type of guy, and he's so derogatory when it comes to talking about people who haven't gone to university, like the working classes, and he's given talks in, about people in factories being basically illiterate and things like that. What a character this is, really. But you see, that's the kind of people that are chosen as front people to supposedly pretend that they're up running the countries. It's astonishing how in your face it can be at times. And even then, we don't want to believe it. Most of us don't want to believe the bad news, or they'll make excuses for them. And they'll say, well, yeah, I know they said that. They can't really mean it. Or it was a slip, or they had a bad day. Or no, this is the way that they see you, you know, the people who are in charge. This is how they really see you. And every country has got the same types as Macron, especially in the civil service and areas like that. And it's sad but true, isn't it? That humanity really doesn't change much, and they go under through the pretense of having a classless society. What a joke that is, a classless society. What a nonsense, eh? As it's alive and as well as it's always been. I guess that's just a way of nature too. This idea of being better than other people because of wealth can affect anybody, even the ones who start at the bottom and start to get some cash coming in, and they can change their opinion of everybody else rather quickly too. It's easy to become a snob, very easy, and you'll see it in everyday life, in fact. But getting back to what I'm prattling on about here, which is basically that the people will poo-poo all the bad things that are written about, and when you have evidence of it too from sources in the big think tanks that work for governments, and you see them being implemented, these different actions, even though you show them the proof, they'll decide not to believe it because it's too frightening for them to believe. However, if some famous person or even an actor or actress comes out on television and talks about it, it must be true. It's just too easy to get people who they think is a special authoritative person. And if they're an actor or actress, they must be authoritative. They must have a, no, they're not. Have you ever really met many actresses or actors? They don't have much to say. They're really not that great at conversation, you know. They're not. You'll start yawning in no time at all. They really don't know very much about the world. They have their own little world that they're in. They don't have a lot of interest outside what they do, basically. Sometimes, yet later on, they take up positions as PR people for big causes or charitable things, etc., which is also often a tax write-off, you see. But in reality, they don't know an incredible... Well, I could even go through some musicians too, well-known ones, but anyway, they'd bore you stiff. They really would. You'd pinch yourself to stay awake. But that's the truth of it. But a lot of them too can become snobs so easily, just because they're wealthy, you see. I always say, if you forget where you came from, then you haven't grown as a human being, you've actually shrunk. And that thing is very, very true. So people really, as I say, don't want to believe unless, because it's just too bad, is it? Isn't it? And I've heard people tell me they choose not to believe something, even though you've got documents from the government's own websites on different things, and they can read it. It's a strange thing, isn't it, where they decide not to want to believe. It's too upsetting. And that's what governments count on. Do you understand this idea of democracy is such nonsense? When you have a massive, massive, it's like an overcast sky of multi-layers of think tanks and non-governmental organizations, all working with each other, thousands of them across the world, for every facet of society, for every country, on every particular area of top of managing the public, including education, everything. And the UN specifies that the governance is to include all these organizations. Well, did you vote for that? Of course you didn't. You didn't vote for that. And these organizations have all these different charters that they're signing all the time and signing deeper into them, even like the Paris Treaty and all this kind of thing. And then the next one, 2030 for sustainability and the environment and so on. And again, in those ones too, those charters as well are to the United Nations. It says again that all interested parties must attend. Well, we don't even get a chance to attend anything, never mind say anything. So who are we kidding here? Because we certainly are kidding ourselves. Democracy, what a joke that is. And when you go into even the end of World War II, when they were very open about world government, and not just government, but governance and all of, again, exactly what I'm talking about now, where a different world, a different, you couldn't just have children, you couldn't just marry who you want to marry, all that kind of stuff. That was all, they tried all that then, tried to push it, but it didn't sail very well, so they went quiet on it, but they kept working at it. And we're really there now. It's been pretty well successful. The family unit's destroyed, a la Karl Marx. And don't forget that every single political party we've had regardless of what they claim to be, has signed further and further and further into the same single agenda, folks, without exception. And you still think it's all real, these parties and so on. It's beautiful, isn't it? But when you realise just how much has been accomplished, and how you've always had the wool pulled over your eyes, and they're still doing it, even more so today, is there's so many organisations. At the end of World War II, as I say, they set up the programme for the United Europe, right? It was to be kept secret from the public, that the whole goal was to completely incorporate all the nations into a single entity, completely under a parliamentary system, a single parliament. And again, the same with the Asian countries, Far Eastern Pacific Rim countries, and then the Americas as well. And they're still at it. And there's no point prattling on about it and repeating it all, but it's, I've done it all before about the different things that have happened here. It's still on the go, but you haven't figured it out yet. And the only reason they're keeping it slightly separate in North America is they must keep Americans thinking that they have a country which is theirs, because they're paying for the wars that are still to happen. Yeah, they've got to finish the list from the 90s that's going to be finished, and they've got to go through it all, you see. And it wouldn't wash. They couldn't get recruits or people to go in for, or even people to pay taxes towards a system of wars that was for the whole of the Americas, but they'll do it for a nation state. It's a patriotic thing that's instinctive in people, and that's what they count on. Years ago, I can remember talking about the radio frequencies and of the internet and Wi-Fi, which again goes into the microwave range. There's been so many articles that have come out over the years, still coming out too, mainly from countries that are allowed to still publish of them, like Switzerland or Sweden and different places, on the effects of Wi-Fi, or the effects too of brain cancers going up and the association between electromagnetic fields, stronger fields and so on. Whereas in the West, it's pretty well dampened down, the whole idea of speaking about it, although we have more than our fair share, you might say, of youngsters getting brain cancers. Not just youngsters, of course, but they're certainly more prone because their brains are still growing. Their children are still growing, right? Their brains and all that too. And cells are dividing very quickly, etc., etc. And that's when, unfortunately, when you get a change in the splitting of cells, then you get the odd ball one coming in, and for some reason the immune system doesn't go into action and destroy it, or it can't destroy it, maybe because it's working so fast and changing so fast and multiplying so fast that the cancerous tumour develops. And there's so much of it today, I wouldn't even bother going into it. To me, it's boring because I've done talks on this before, and people say, well, it's bad news. We don't want to hear bad news. But this thing about it too, it's the same idea that people had with going into war. You know, they'd sign up for the wars, it'd be over by Christmas. That's what the propaganda was, told them that, and a good portion of them would die or be wounded and really disabled for life. But each one who went in thought they would not get hit, you see, and that's the nature of humanity. It's always some vague other person's going to get it, and if you all knew the ones who eventually get killed, they would definitely get killed, they wouldn't go. It's the same with smoking cigarettes or anything else like that, you know, or even playing some kind of tag across the roads as a child and trying to dodge the cars. Well, that's what it is. You're playing dice, basically. Well, that's the same natural phenomena that you have in you, saying that won't happen to me, of course. It's someone else is going to get it, and I'll be okay. Isn't it strange that all the folks who come down with cancers is always someone else, eh? It doesn't happen to you. It's like you automatically go into the survival mode of seeing them as them, like something different about them. They must be really different, and so different, in fact, because they're not you, obviously. So that means they're really, really different. I'm okay. That's a simple thing that people have, and everybody's got it. But it does happen to people, and it can happen to all of us. And folk even listening to it here now, I've had it. I've had different things like cancers, and different people get in touch with me too, tell me about the trials that they're going through. Is this the way it is? I remember years ago watching a public broadcasting thing in Canada, and two scientists started talking on this live show of the dangers of electromagnetic radiation, and they were closed down before they got much of it out their mouths, in fact, by the station itself. Someone had to call them anyway to cut them off, but they were qualified top scientists in the field of electromagnetics and frequencies. So that kind of made me wonder about it way many years ago, before even the internet was up and running the way it is today. If you do have a radio, a normal radio, you can get a especially AM frequency, on the AM, or you'll see it with the FM too if you're close enough to the screen of your computer. And you'll put an AM station, and especially a shortwave station, and you'll hear the racket, the noise, as you get closer and closer to that screen or to the actual computer itself, the body, main body of the computer, because it gives off an incredibly powerful electromagnetic field all around it. And in fact, I even had one of these cheapo electric wire sensors, a little pencil type, that you're meant to touch the insulation of a wire, and it would just glow and give a little buzzing sound if there was live current going through. Well, it will go off near the computer, actually, without touching the computer. It will actually go off and do the same thing. Well, you're sitting so close to that darn thing, no one thinks anything about it, eh? I can remember years ago, too, when they actually had people who were using the laptops and they were giving cancers of males, of the testes. That was accepted as fact by the medical community. This was happening, and that's what they thought the reason would be, that they were using the thing on their lap. That's what they call a laptop, right? But it's got that strong signal, electromagnetic current, and it's Wi-Fi for most of the time that they're using it. But so there's a double whammy, and they always give you warnings about it. But I don't know if they still do give you warnings. Don't put it on your lap. Well, why they call it a laptop then? You can't make people use common sense. You can't make them use it, common sense. But at the same time, as I say, most folks think it will never happen to me. But it's happening to a lot of people. The other folks, there are them, not me, but them. That phenomena again. I can remember doing the articles across with some of the Canadian authorities and the US too, that had they were putting up the antennas in schools to broadcast Wi-Fi right through the area, the schools and the playground too, and they'd measured the currents of it all and so on. But people were getting, including the teachers, were getting incredible headaches with it. At least that was the outcome with most of these places, and confusion at times as well, which it can cause as well. And so eventually they took a lot of these antennas down again. I remember even having a place not far from me because of its potency, basically. But give it a little bit of time, and we'll all forget it. And we do. Today, I think people's memories are getting shorter and shorter, because what I'm talking about was only about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5 at the most. And yet, all that stuff's coming back again, and now you're going into the 5G system. Now, the 5G system was officially launched in... they launched it in Scotland for the UK. They actually tried Scotland, at least the Orkneys, the islands in the north of Scotland. That was their test base, I guess. And they did a kind of launching of it over a week ago. And apparently it failed during a live PR thing by the BBC. But the idea was that it says that they're living in 6 major cities and are now able to access UK's first 5G network for the first time. And it says the first part of the trial, funded by the UK government, was in the Orkneys, apparently. So it says the live BBC broadcast over 5G network on the launch day fails during a live broadcast, as I say. And another article goes into Orkney, why it got the latest tech before London. It said here that the latest super-fast technology has already been available for months to islanders in Orkney and farmers in Shropshire and some cows in Somerset. And it's a part of the trial funded by the UK government, or part-funded, which is designed to make the case for investment in areas without lots of customers. And it tells you what it is, an extent, 5G. Even then, it's very, very thin on facts, because they don't go into the effects of it, really. Or you get faster internet speeds, things like that, or ability to download more stuff at the same time, that kind of thing. That's how they're telling you all the plus things about it. But it says that maintaining Wi-Fi across all of the islands, basically, and how it's going to work out there. But it's going to be awfully, awfully expensive. And you only get about, I think it's 10 gigs in a month. Although I probably have ideas that you pay more and more money. But it says here that there's 5G handsets, you see. You have to get a 5G handset to go along with it. And so in the meantime, most folk will still be getting their 4G systems, or working with that, basically, until they have everything else ironed out and you... But it's awfully expensive. But it's Internet of Things, really. The other articles that the techie magazines talk about is the Internet of Things, where all the different appliances and everything will communicate with everything else. And so, and literally, there'll be nowhere you can hide anymore, because you'll be traced and tracked everywhere by 1,000 different things you don't even know exist around you. Even nanotechnology, too. They did documentaries on that years ago, on the nanotechnology in the 5G system. And basically, it's here, the Internet of Things, as they call it, as I say. there'll be the speeds of it. You might get 20 gigs per second, they say, which will, of course, will be way up, way beyond what you're going to get. But that was overestimate all the pluses that it's going to do for you and how expensive it will be, of course. And also, too, they're saying that it'll be more expensive because if Huey doesn't get the contracts, you're left with other contracts or contractors to give you the 5G, which is quite interesting to me, because it's all the stuff with China is just to see what country is going to get the big contracts, because they'll supply all the security systems across the world with money, and all your, even the NSA will be getting their stuff from them too, you see. So it's a big contract, and of course there's big battles, and some folk are have been more open about who's going to get the contracts. It's quite something else. Business, isn't it? I do an article here on the 5G. It says there's nowhere to hide. And this is a good article, in fact, about people who are exposing some of the dangers. But it says our health is more important than having cars that talk to each other or faster movie downloads, says Dr. Tracy Chandler, and who says we should be aware of the 5G. Also goes into crowd control. It says, no, these aren't the words of a conspiracy theorist, but actual history of 5G, a form of radio frequency or RF radiation, which was originally used in the last century, as 20th century, for crowd control, but was later mostly abandoned because it burned people. The links to two of these actual articles from the defense.gov about the actual burning of people with what they were using for crowd control and the 5G system. Anyway, says this week's opinion piece has been an accumulation of many weeks of research and communication with experts in the field of the effects of 5G on human health. It was therefore heartening to see the media recently take on this controversial topic. The key sentence in the Stuff article, it's called Stuff, I guess, the article, is an eloquent quote from the University of Auckland psychology professor Susan Pockett. Approximately 600 peer-reviewed research reports from a range of international scientists shows that radio frequency radiation is linked to multiple medical conditions, including infertility. Well, that's a plus factor, you see, again, for coincidentally, for the big agenda for sustainability, right? And diabetes and various kinds of cancer and psychiatric disorders. Interesting, psychiatric disorders, eh? In fact, the research on the health effects of 5G is even more extensive than that quoted by in that article, with tens of thousands published over the last 80 years. This huge database clearly refutes the industry-funded research that claims no harmful effects from EMFs. And it gives you, again, links on legitimate scientific investigations on this. This is an article, more than 200 scientists have written to the United Nations and the World Health Organization expressing concerns about potential health risks from this technology, while radio frequency radiation was classified as group 2B, that's the number of 2B in 2011, a possible human carcinogen along with lead, after advice from the International Agency for Research on Cancer. And there have been further studies since then which have strengthened the association, leading to many scientists calling for EMFs to be classified as a group 1 carcinogen along with tobacco smoke and asbestos. Not a bad article, this, actually. And as I say, it isn't just guessing about stuff. They have a lot of studies to back up what's being said here. And the World Health Organization has appeared to be proactive by launching a paper for public comment in 2014 in RF fields and health. However, it turned out that five of the six members of the core group in charge of the paper are affiliated with International Commission on Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection, an industry loyal organization, and therefore have a serious conflict of interest. That's how they always do it to the World Health Organization. Same with different organizations that are overseeing the drug safety and so on for the public. They're often affiliated with the very pharmacies and so on that actually make the pills and medicines. That's how they do things in the real world, eh? Anyway, I'll put this article up for those who want to look through it also. We'll go through this article here. It says, the Europe 5G to cost many billions more if Chinese vendors are banned. And then an article by DARPA. It's quite interesting, in fact. This is DARPA wants to wirelessly connect human brains to machines, allowing soldiers to fully control weapon systems, view things remotely like a three-eyed raven, or feel stuff remotely. It says that it has potential for applications or military applications, and not only military control of airplanes and weapons, but also for civilian uses, from controlling artificial vision systems to completely immersive virtual reality that will transport your consciousness to alternate relatives. Alternate relatives, eh? This is the stuff of science fiction, but scientists have already made some advance in the field, and the first human neuroprosthetic devices appeared in the mid-1990s, allowing patients to crudely control artificial limbs. So that was going to the next things you could do, and help, really, help people. The military-industrial complex is here to help people, right? But anyway, it says they've got all these different projects on the way for finding ways to manage basically your brain in the military and also in civilian life as well. You're looking at the Technotronic era, remember. You tie that with the 5G and the waves which would go across an entire continent. Like Brzezinski said in the 1970s, he says they had the technology then to be the whole continent in technotronic waves, basically, of power that would influence the behaviour of the entire population, even pacify them. Old stuff, in a sense. However, they say they're working on was done long ago, in fact. They're really just meaning they're putting it into operation on a bigger scale now. Also, it says Amazon is gathering data about body types by inviting volunteers to get scanned, taped and photographed. And it says that the company is running a study to learn about diversity amongst body shapes, offering $25 gift card for a 30-minute appointment in New York. Participants will take a survey and assent to 3D scans plus photos and videos of their body first in their everyday attire and then in form-fitting clothing. You understand where all this is going, eh? So Amazon Body Labs, this is originally a startup that Amazon acquired in 2017, produced detailed 3D body models for shopping and gaming. As Mushabi notes, it grew out of an attempt to identify criminals initially, right, with computer vision techniques. And Amazon has gathered this kind of body data before the Wall Street Journal reported on a longer-term study in 2018 when Amazon asked to scan participants several times over a 20-year period, measuring changes to body shape over time. So, again, it's not just their faces they're doing, it's your whole body. Everything identifies you, even the way you walk, that's all studied as well, by the way, and recorded. Yeah. Comments on the US National Toxicology Program. It's a different article. Technical reports on toxicology and carcinogenesis study in rats exposed to whole body radio frequency radiation at 900 megahertz. 900 is much lower, remember. And mice exposed to whole body radio frequency radiation at 1900 megahertz. And it says here that during the use of handheld mobile and cordless phones, the brain is the main target of radio frequency radiation, an increased risk of developing glioma and acoustic neuroma has been found in human epidemiological studies. Primarily based on these findings, the International Agency for Research on Cancer at the World Health Organization classified May 2011 radio frequency radiation at the frequency range of 30 kilohertz to 300 gigahertz as a possible human carcinogen. Group 2B, a carcinogenic potential for radio frequency radiation in animal studies, was already published in 1982. This has been confirmed over the years. More recently, in the Ramazzini Institute, a rat study, an increased incidence of glioma, that's a brain cancer type that you're seeing more commonly now in youngsters, and malignant schwannoma in the heart was found in the US National Toxicology Program study on rats and mice. The NTP final report is to be published, however. The extended reports are published on the internet for evaluation and are reviewed herein in more detail in relation to human epidemiological studies. Thus, the main aim of the study was to compare earlier human epidemiological studies with NTP findings, including a short review of animal studies. It's quite detailed, actually, for those who are here to wade through it. And they used radio frequencies during the use of handheld wireless phones with mobile and cordless phones. And thus, an increased risk of developing brain tumours has long been a cause for concern. And then they go into all, for those who care, as I say. Also, electromagnetic fields and public health. This is mobile telephony is now commonplace around the world. This wireless technology relies upon extensive networks of fixed antennas or base and stations, relaying information with radio frequency signals. Over 1.4 million base stations exist worldwide, and the number is increasing significantly with the introduction of third generation technology, where we're beyond that now. This was going back to 2006, this particular article. Other wireless networks that allow high speed internet access and services, such as wireless local area networks, are also increasing, and so on and so on. Recent surveys have shown that RF exposures from base stations range from 0.002% to 2% of the levels of international exposure guidelines. And there's been a concern about possible health consequences from exposure to the RF fields produced by wireless technologies. Then it goes into the health concerns. So that shows you the early findings from increasing body temperatures from exposure to at very high field intensity found only in certain industrial facilities such as RF heaters, and the levels of RF exposure from base stations and wireless networks are so low the temperature increases are insignificant and do not affect human health. Now, they've done it before in universities, or since then universities, where they've actually put two cell phones, never mind the base stations, but two cell phones quite close and put an egg in the middle, and eventually you can actually cook the egg in the shell. I'll put this up too from the early findings. Another one too is electromagnetic radiation safety. And these are studies some from universities and so on, like Berkeley. And it says cell phones, cell towers, and wireless safety. That's one of them, with links on it too. Another one is recent research on wireless radiation and electromagnetic fields. 650 abstracts of scientific papers published since August 2016. 5G wireless technology, millimeter wave health effects. It's a millimeter wave, it's a really, really packed, nasty thing, actually. That's 5G. And the ones below, mind you, are much better as far as my, I personally think, anyway. And it says exposure guidelines for radio frequency fields, and it gives you European journalist team's findings on it. 5G wireless technology cutting through the hype, it says. I mean, news stories debunk the exaggerated benefits of 5G cellular technology and effects of cell phone use on adolescents. Research on adolescents suggests that cell phones are disturb sleep and has adverse effects on memory and cognitive processes and on the endocrine system. Interesting that on the endocrine system as well too, which secretes different hormones and so on and throughout your body for different purposes. And then a lot of good links here, actually. They're well-studied areas on the effects of it and so on. And various professors' writings in universities, too, about their findings through their testing, etc. Really interesting, actually, for anybody who really cares. Again, most folk don't want to hear the bad news. You want to just have fun, right? Again, back to that human thing, you'll never get the problems that someone else will. And even then, it's like a human thing. It must be something wrong when we start with. That's why they got it. It's amazing how people rationalize so much without any real evidence of their conclusions. And then recent research on wireless radiation and electromagnetic fields, and different links here I'll put up, and the latest editions appear below, blah, 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 blah. It covers more than 600 scientific papers, this other one too. And you get a PDF, 467-page document as well. It can be downloaded by clicking on the following links. I'll put them up as well. Again, measurements of radio frequency or radiation with a body-borne exposometer is called in Swedish schools with Wi-Fi. And that's 2017. Quite good. Too many schools give each student their own laptop and utilize laptops and wireless fidelity connection for educational purposes. Most children also bring their own mobile phones to school, so children are obliged by law to attend school. A safe environment is important. And then, so they go into discussing radio frequency radiation and long-term adverse effects on children's health. As a result, 18 teachers from 7 schools participated. The mean exposure RF radiation range, they carried these things to detect it, to how much you would get in a period of time of these Wi-Fi signals and radiation. So the exposure to RF radiation ranged from 1.1 to 66 microwatts per square meter. The highest mean level, 386.6, occurred during 5 minutes of a session when the teacher let the school stream and watch the YouTube videos. So I guess YouTube videos, I guess any kind of videos would jump up. And maximum peaks went up, and it shows you what it's up to, from mobile phone uplinks as well. So it says the measurements are in line with recent exposure studies in schools in other countries. So they're comparing their findings with other countries' findings too, and the same kind of studies, which is the way you're supposed to do it. The exposure levels varied, and it tells you between the different Wi-Fi systems. And if the students were allowed to use their own smartphones in the school's Wi-Fi network, or if they were connected to the GSM and 3 gig and 4 gig base stations outside the school. This is an access point over the teacher's head gave higher exposure compared with a school with a wired internet connection for the teacher in the classroom. All values were far below international commissions on non-ionizing radiation protection reference values, but most mean levels measures were above the precautionary target level of 3 to 6. And it gives you again that microwatt per square meter, as proposed by the bioinitiative report. So that goes on and on again too. It's all kind of dry stuff, but you had to read the dry stuff to find out what's going on. And then there's another one. This one too. It says UK study connects social media use and depression, which I'm not surprised actually. It says UK has a significant rise in teen suicides, anxiety and depression. The mental health of young people is a major concern. Many celebrities are becoming involved. Well, so you get any celebrities, eh? Otherwise we won't take any notice. Isn't that sad, eh? Turning their attention to helping young people. UK Millennium Cohort Study involved more than 10,000 teenagers who are 14 years old. The study is unique because it's not only looking at the possibility that social media use could lead to depression, but also investigated online harassment, sleep, self-esteem and body image as potential pathways to depressive symptoms. The findings were radical and echoed the results of similar studies conducted. And the longer people found young people spend on social media, the higher the risk of suffering with depressive symptoms. I don't think it's just teenagers that find. I think we all get that, don't we? Eh? This reading the nonsense they give you to read is pretty depressing. So, girls spend more time on social media than boys do. girls with greater social media use at the start of adolescence can have poor mental well-being several years later. This is all predictable from what they already understood and by the big marketing companies and the studies they've done on youngsters, men, male and female, and they know exactly how to target the different the genders and so on, and age groups as well. So girls using the social media for more than 5 hours get fewer hours of sleep, disrupted sleep, online harassment as either a victim or perpetrator, low self-esteem, dissatisfaction with their self-image. And this article goes on to talk about the National Toxicology, US, that is, National Toxicology Program's $30 million study determined there's clear evidence of heart tumors, and there's evidence of brain tumors, and there's evidence of DNA damage. So there you go. That's the US National Toxicology Program study, a massive study that was done. Another major 2018 study at Italy's Ramazzini Institute reports similar findings. This low level non-ionizing microwave radiation pulsing from the wireless antennas is linked in other studies to insomnia, anger, depression, behavior issues, cognitive impairment, suicidal ideation, and more. And then children, the science shows, are especially vulnerable. Each device has multiple antennas, think cellular, data, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, hotspots, etc. Without realizing it, they're on it all the time, right? Constantly pulsing microwave radiation for a handshake with the nearest cell tower or router. Risk for tumours increase after 30 minutes of daily use of a mobile phone against the head. There you go. So there you go. There's a lot in this article, pretty good article too. I'll put these up for those who look at them. There's some good sites out there with good studies, and that's quite interesting. Interestingly, some countries like Switzerland that voted, where the teachers voted at one time in 2013 to keep Wi-Fi out of school, and I think there's some kind of anger in Switzerland because there's big money offered, and teachers eventually went along with it a few years later. So you give them time, and they get around all the arguments that are put across to the public, I suppose. That's how it's done. Something a bit different. I just want to touch on. We know there's going to be war with Iran eventually, because it's on the list and it's in the news, and they give you little bits of the usual kind of build up to it. That's how things are done. You learn and you accept things by little bits that are put out, and not a little bit more and a little bit more, and eventually it's easier to give you the last lie, which is for invasion. You see, that's how propaganda works. But if you go into this one here, the U.S. commander says American forces face imminent threat from Iran. A top commander of U.S. forces in the Middle East says he believes the Iranians, or their proxies, right, may orchestrate an attack at any moment. I think the threat is imminent, Marine General Frank McKenzie said in an exclusive broadcast interview. And he said, we continually evaluate our force posture in the region. So anyway, it's getting us used to the idea again. They won't be happy till the whole list that was published in the 90s is fulfilled. Again, it was General Wesley Clark that came out with the list idea during an interview he gave with Democracy Now, where he mentioned that he was stunned to find out there was a whole bunch on the list. And of course, they never go back or forget them. This is an agenda, and they're going to do it one way or another. I mean, it's just the starving of these countries alone with embargoes and so on, like they did with Iraq, has an incredible effect on the people. And again, as I said before, you can basically make force folk to leave and get out of that area, leaving it empty eventually, if need be, by the constant threats and embargoes and all the rest of it. So there's many ways to tear a country down, and the US is definitely using a lot of it. And they won't forget it, so they won't let it go. Another article, too, is that I live-tweeted that. This is from a reporter. I live-tweeted the AFP's every move as they raided the Australian Broadcasting Corporation Sydney headquarters. They were raided by the police there. It's almost like this, the equivalent of the BBC getting raided. But it says it was a surreal moment standing with a group of Australian federal police, that's the AFP, officers around a big screen, sifting through 9,214 emails and documents belonging to my colleagues. I felt like I was having surgery, but was still conscious and was seeing and hearing things which I'd rather not be. It says, I felt like a complete violation of us both as journalists and citizens, and had nothing to do with national security. It was at that moment I felt there was something sick about modern Australia, that an institution as important as the media had come to this. I should just jump in and say this is all starting even with Assange. And I came out and said that when they saw that very, very high-profile attack, basically open daylight type attack on Assange, all the media were there to take the photographs and were told to come, of course, to make sure it was broadcast across the world that this will happen to you if you start to report things which aren't authorised. Eh? But now they're going after ones who are, or they think they're authorised to report news to the public, which was standard for news. But you've got to remember that Australia also had their own version at the same time as Leveson Inquiry in Britain, when they changed the rules of what you could say and so on. And it really, that's when the media changed. It was like night and day. It's all politically correct, and people were scared to say anything at all in case they would get in trouble. And, of course, what they're showing us now is that it's for everybody else. It's to terrify anybody out there that wants to give out any kind of news, including bloggers, obviously. Obviously it is, too, right? And it's a good story, but you have to read the whole article itself. And as I say, it's almost a rumor, but instead it's about special forces. Australian special forces may have been killing people that weren't authorized to kill in Afghanistan, supposedly. That's one possibility. And there was something else which they haven't mentioned yet, too. So you don't know what to believe at the moment, so you just wait and see. But I really think it's a massive exercise as well on putting people under the thumb of government, even though newspapers generally were authorised to inform the public. Well, that's a bit of a myth as well. They've always had been cooperative with governments, I would say, at least most of the time. But I think the message is loud and clear now. You can't just go and get news or discover what is newsworthy anymore, because we're in a different system. I say we've moved in a different chapter. And in Britain, as I say, the Leveson Inquiry didn't just stop with an inquiry, they had recommendations and they passed laws as to what could be said, basically, and so on. And it's the same in Australia. They're really enforcing it now, I suppose. As far as special forces go, I think the public, I don't have to be shocked or not to find out if some... war is not hygienic. When you unleash soldiers on a public for a wartime purpose, especially special forces, because they get put in to do a job. And that means generally killing people in the way, even if that's not their main objective. They're going to kill folk in the way in and the way out. And they really are not really in much of a caring attitude as to should they kill them or not, if they're old, young, or whatever. That's the nature of war. And especially special forces. They're not going to get bogged down with niceties, you might say, or common decencies. And they certainly can't afford conscience. Otherwise, they'll crack up and they'll get wiped out themselves. That's not how it works. So let's wisen up here as well as to what war is about. Maybe they'll suffer later in New Year's, that's a thing too, with post-traumatic stress syndrome. But while they're actually in units like that, there's a whole system of ensuring they don't have much of a conscience, put it that way, for the particular type of work that they're going to do. However, I don't know if that's the real story or not, and we'll have to wait and see. But as I say, it's a warning to everybody. They think they can just tell what they see is the truth. Those days have changed drastically. Now, in the past, I'd like to say this too, this is to do with suicide and assisted dying, because it's really, they're getting pressed to it too, and I guess it gets folk familiar with the idea, so they'll accept more of it. That is the agenda too, naturally. But you've got socialism. Remember, I've said before that the globalists decided a long time ago, and Quigley affirmed this, Carl Quigley. He said we're often mistaken as communists because our goals and agendas are so similar. Well, they're so similar, they're pretty well the same. The elite wanted a system that would control people completely. Socialism is that, that's the idea that they chose. Not what you think you're going to get as a worker from the government back in taxes. No. That's what they want you to believe. Socialism is a regimented system, an ideology, which is communism too, where the state rules and the state has panels of experts and bosses, commissars, ruling your lives from birth to death. Everybody in it gets ruled, and there's no real free will eventually down the road. And you have a purpose. They decide what your purpose is going to be. In fact, they even decide if they even need you to be born for a certain purpose. That's the end goals of where they want to go in scientific socialism, right? Now, don't forget that National Socialism was what Germany used in World War II. That's what ran the system for a short time. They get all the hatred piled on them because they used what we call national hygiene system to kill people who were in hospital, who were psychiatric patients, and those who were deemed below par in different ways, and for people with physical ones too, disabilities in that area as well. And here we are, opening, I knew we'd come to it. It's the same system, right? Understand. But somehow this is a goodness. We're being humane when we do it. Isn't it amazing, the hypocrisy of the liars at the top that run the system, right? Opening assisted dying to psychiatric patients is a bad idea? Question mark. And it says, a policy for access to assisted dying by non-terminal ill patients with psychiatric conditions will put many vulnerable and stigmatized people at risk, writes Scott Kim, MD, PhD, National Institute of Health, Bethesda, Maryland, and Tudo Lemons, and so on. Anyway, it says, we believe there is a serious gap between the idealized basis upon which assisted dying for patients with psychiatric conditions is advocated and reality of its practice, as reflected in evidence from Belgium and the Netherlands, they add. And just, they always unroll it, like, well, it's really for real terminally ill people. That's how they always start these things. Just like DARPA, you know, the Military Industrial Research Department. We're there to help people and give them chips so they can move their arms again. You know, that's how they always start this stuff. So the same thing, we're here for the term. And then they go into, well, you're a bit depressed, how about a pill, you know? Take this pill. So anyway, this article is quite good. It says, we believe there's a serious gap between the idealized basis upon which assisted dying for patients with psychiatric conditions is advocated and the reality of its practice. And they give you the actual link to the editorial, in fact, that was published in the Canadian Medical Association Journal. It's really something. I knew it would come in this because they never change. The leopard never changes its spots or its techniques, you know. It's always there to help you. So it's for you. We want to help you. You know, we don't want you suffering. Anyway, at all. We don't want you suffering whatsoever. And that's how it's put across to you. Then Belgium investigates the Right to Die group offering suicide powder, it says here. It says the Last Will group is called, has about 23,000 paying members with an average of age of 69 blocked by the Dutch authorities last year from helping approximately 1,000 people purchase a lethal drug, but continues to offer advice on legal ways to obtain it. The reason I think a lot's in the paper again is because they're making a big, almost a publicity. It's almost like a, yeah, I guess it's a publicity stunt in a sense, but it's real, supposedly. It says that a girl, a young woman, to her own life in 2015, a doctor killed a healthy 24-year-old in euthanasia who thought of suicide since she was a child, you know, in Belgium. It's just getting worse and worse and worse, eh? So basically, what you've got here is, you see, anybody who might be what they call a burden on society, an economic liability. It's cheaper to get rid of you. It's the same if you're elderly. You might be scared to go into a hospital now when they can offer you suicide, basically. Because they like it because they save money for the system. They got more money. They can spend it on other good causes, and I won't even go into that. But there you go. They're going to help people who have a mental problem, even if it's temporary. You know how many young people really get depressed? It's a normal thing you go through when you're young. As you try to figure out what life's about and where you are in life and where you stand with everybody and so on. It's, you're finding yours. That's why even youngsters used to say they were ungainly, especially the males, trying to walk when you're an adolescent. You try to walk like a person who knows what they're doing and you're self-possessed and so on. But you might feel an actual gangly legs now because you're still growing. That's how it is. But to get depressed and things and get offered suicide, come on here. A raped girl, it says here, 17... This is a story, legally allowed to die in Holland after suffering unbearable pain since childhood. So she died Sunday in an end-of-life clinic bed in her living room in the Netherlands after battling mental health problems for years and deciding to refuse food. Now, they'll use this for the debate, of course, naturally, and like a PR thing, too. They'll make hay out of this. And folk will go, they'll pick sides without knowing all the facts. This is how it's done. And that's how you're led to your opinions in the system. And in a criminal case, spurs a rethink of euthanasia for mental illness. Recent launch of a criminal investigation, a case of medical assisted death for a psychiatric illness in Belgium, reported by multiple media sources, is shining a spotlight on growing concerns, even among supporters, about the controversial practice. I'll tell you something, it won't just end with you choosing, it's going to come, see, this is the whole thing about it, where it always has to go. Eventually the state will decide to kill you. I'm not kidding you, this is where it's to go. And you're constantly being trained to believe professionals and accept them and do what you're told, obey. And as the system goes in, you're being brainwashed in 1,000 different ways through techniques you don't even understand are happening to you and being used on you. And that's where it's supposed to end up. And you'll have the state advising this to you. It's already happening with the advice you would take it. I've done stories on that before. But this will be the normal. And they'll demand you take it. I'm not kidding you. Or they might not even tell you. This is really where it's supposed to go, folks. A professor in Australia, I told you, came out a few years ago, and he got big press and television, naturally, saying that, you know, people would just hit, you know, their retirement age and die, he said. And the excuse was, well, we'll leave more work for young people to take. But the whole point is, it's the plans, literally the planned society, including planned death, folks. Brave New World, here you are. There you go. But also we've got the other things happening that don't make much sense, because they won't tell you much, will they? So three Chinese warships docked in Sydney Harbour, but were they even invited? Supposedly it was a surprise. Although, again, the Prime Minister eventually came out and says, no, it wasn't really, you know. But everybody else, there's going to be something to it. It was a bit of a surprise, apparently. And who knows what's happening there? Maybe they're forcing them to buy Huey. Who knows? Gunboat diplomacy. Eh? After all, that's what the US used in Japan to force them to trade a long time ago. And that's what also the US and Britain did on, and France did on China, to force them as well. They would put bales of opium in until they succumbed to it. But there you go. That's how it really is. Eh? It's just astonishing, the world that we live in, isn't it? It really is. I'll put these links up, remember, for those who really care to read through them and plough through them. And for those who can handle it, you know, no one wants to think this stuff is damaging us, even though the statistics out there and the disclosures of studies showing us all the cancers we're getting off this stuff. And you wonder why they're giving you more and more and more. You know, the folk who design these things and make them won't even carry a cell phone. What does that tell you? That's the world we live in, folks. So sorry for a dry talk today, but I want to get that stuff out on the 5G, because you really start thinking about things. You really do. You're getting bathed in the stuff wherever you go. When it's really up and running, it's Internet of Things, it's safer, nanotechnology. Don't forget the articles on nanotechnology and the big, wonderful things that we're going to do with 5G and nanotechnology. Would get its signals and all these little particles and that, little microorganisms almost, could get together in your bloodstream and repair things and stuff, be programmed externally from any distance across the world to you. In other words, all this thing can be done to you without you knowing about it or getting approval or anything else. And do you really want that happening to you? Huh? Do you really want what Persinger, the professor, who had worked for the big military boys at one point? He talked about the big field of basically they could. You're living in a field. You meant Wi-Fi, and eventually no one could be ignorant of other folks' sufferings. You'd know what people across the world were, how they were starving. You'd feel it. You'd know it. You'd literally feel it, because it'd be in your brain. You see, do you really want that system? Of course you don't. But are you going to get much of a say in it? Well, you've got a say in it if you demand it. If you don't demand it, you get no say in it. Simple as that. And it's always pushes a great, great thing. You know, you've got to have logic in the world and consistency of logic. I'm not putting a damper on anything. I'm just stating logic and some facts. If you want to be able to stop people smoking because of the tar in cigarettes, this carcinogenic, it's not just the tar, it's all of the chemicals the government demanded that were put in the tobacco by law. Hundreds of them. They weren't necessary. And they haven't explained yet why they demanded it get put in. But also, the tar, okay? But smoking, now the government's in on pushing marijuana, big, big, massive business, right? And that many of those at the top of government, including the legal profession, and who are departments, in the departments of attorney generals, and top characters, have got shares in the company, right? Now that they're running it all, marijuana is, which you've seen the tar comes off of that stuff, way beyond cigarettes, but that's good, that's okay. Well, as I say, logic has to be logical, and it must maintain logic. You can't have it both ways. It's not logic if you go in different directions here, you know, on the same kind of problem. Tar is tar, eh? That's good tar, this is bad tar. Because why? Because the government's pushing it now, eh? For big business. You gotta start thinking for yourselves on everything, including this 5G, including below the 5G, because don't forget, we've been getting reports of the cancers from you know, the 2.5 all the way up to now the 5G. It's sad but true, and really that's all I can say tonight. Unfortunately, because I've ran through this. I was going to talk about different things tonight, but I thought I should get all this kind of depressing data out. Just for the articles themselves, for those who want to go through it. And that's how knowledge spreads. It's from the ones who can handle it and can handle the bad news and are not scared to delve into it and then pass it on to other people too. That's how things change. The people who turn their heads away because it's bad news really don't change anything. They enable things to happen because of their silence. And that's what they count on, of course. And I don't blame the people. It's... life's tough enough for most folk without having to worry about other things too. Don't worry about it. The ones who can handle this stuff don't worry so much. They're cautious, they understand it, but they won't sit and let it destroy them. That's the difference. That's the best you can do. From myself, from Ontario, Canada, I'm Alan Watt.
This is Ozzy Skateboard, and you're listening to UCY.TV.